As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man came running up, knelt down before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to share in everlasting life?" Jesus answered, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my childhood." Then Jesus looked at him with love and told him, "There is one thing more you must do. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor. You will then have treasure in heaven. After that, come and follow me." At these words, the man's face fell. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples could only marvel at his words. So Jesus repeated what he had said, "My sons, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They were completely overwhelmed at this and exclaimed to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus fixed his gaze on them and said, "For humans it is impossible, but not for God. With God, all things are possible." The Gospel of the Lord. This is another one of those great Markan Gospels that scares some of us, relieves others of us, and should really challenge all of us, no matter where we fall on the spectrum with regard to wealth and riches and possessions. I always smile at this gospel because of the image I conjure up in my mind of a camel trying to squeeze through the eye of a needle. Of course, it's an outrageous example. Of course, it is hyperbole at its best. Of course, it is Jesus trying to make the point in as strong a way as he can conjure up in his own mind. How can a camel get through the eye of a needle? We automatically think about a camel carrying all of this baggage with him, baggage loaded with money, loaded with possessions, loaded with material things. And of course, you can't get anything through the eye of a needle except the tiniest, tiniest piece of thread. The young man in today's gospel had many possessions. And so at the challenge from Jesus that he go and sell everything that he has, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow him, he was very, very discouraged because he could not part with his wonderful possessions. I fear that sometimes we listen to this gospel and we think, well, that isn't me. I certainly don't have a lot of money. I'm free from the teaching of this weekend's challenge and this weekend's gospel. I certainly don't have a lot of possessions. I'm not the kind of person that the man is in the gospel. I must not be the kind of person Jesus is really talking to. I live very simply. I have very little. I don't cling to things or material possessions. So this must not be about me this weekend. And I think if we interpret this gospel too narrowly, thinking that it only applies to those with great wealth of money and property and possessions, we will miss the full breadth of what Jesus is trying to teach each and every one of us. Through this man in the gospel and through this example, we have an opportunity to understand the full breadth of the teaching of Jesus. We have an opportunity to understand that the camel is pretty broad. The camel is not limited to dollars and cents. The camel is not limited to material things. In fact, the things that we cling to in our lives, all of the things that we cling to in our lives, be they psychological, emotional, educational, whatever they are, the things that we cling to in our lives can be as dangerous to us as an overly, whatever you want to call it, an overly burdensome possession of large wealth of money and material things and property. In fact, I started thinking about this quite a bit in preparation for the preaching that I will be doing in Michigan this coming weekend. And I realized that possessions needs to be broadly interpreted. It is not just about dollars. It is not just about property. It can be about any one of a number of things. I think of how often it has to do with looks. I think of how we scramble and dye our hair and go to the gym and do everything that we can to try to maintain what our image of our youth was all about. I think of all the ways in which we try to cling to how we once looked. Even though we want to stay healthy and we want to do the things that keep ourselves healthy, sometimes people cling to looks in a way that blocks them just as much as money can. Sometimes our looks are our possessions. Sometimes our attitudes are our possessions, and our judgments of other people, and our self-righteousness about how everyone else in the world should live their lives so as to reflect more appropriately and more clearly the life I have chosen to live. Sometimes our possessions are our opinions about things, or our ideologies, be they religious or governmental. Sometimes we so possess an attitude of self-righteousness with regard to what our politics are, or with regard to what our spiritual and religious beliefs are, that we stand in judgment of all kinds of other people in the world who don't believe or think the way we believe or think. Sometimes those are our possessions, and oftentimes they are more dangerous than even money or property. Sometimes the loss of a loved one puts us in touch with what we thought was our possession. And sometimes the depression or the sadness or the non-understanding that comes from the loss of a loved one creates in us a feeling of God somehow not being with us. Even in that sadness and in that grief, which is very understandable, we can regard the person that we lost as something that was ours we should never have lost. And it can block us from a right relationship with God. Sometimes even our own state of health is a possession that we think we have and that we have a right to, and are stunned or shocked when our health is not what we want it to be. And again, can fall into despair and sadness because we struggle with health issues. And again, can feel a distance between ourselves and God because there's a fear that God is not listening to our earnest prayers for improved health. What strikes me is that the lesson that Jesus gave to the rich young man who had many possessions really is not to just those with material possessions, but is to all of us with any kind of possession whatsoever. What riches might each of us have to let go of in order to follow Jesus Christ more closely? If not money, if not wealth, in material things, if not property, what about all the other possessions And how broad a list is that list of possessions? What riches might each of us have to let go of as we listen to this gospel? What riches might keep us from knowing God or being devoted to God more closely? What riches might keep us from understanding and hearing the words of Jesus Christ more clearly? What riches might we possess that keep us from becoming more fully the body of Christ that each of us is called to become? Possessions does not just mean wealth and property and dollars and cents. Possessions, riches, impact our lives at every level. And one of the challenges of this weekend's gospel is for us to try to understand that and to clear ourselves of the things that block us from God. We have to think and ask ourselves, how broad is this camel that is trying to get through the eye of a needle? How broad is my camel? This gospel is meant for every one of us. Hopefully, we will have the ears to hear it.